Roy Morris, that's Digger's boy, K.R. Morris. He was very unlucky, Roy. A good friend of mine, but that's nothing to do with it. He unfortunately was a boy of Digger. Mm. And I think if you're the boy of someone, it's very difficult to stand to do what your dad's done, and get the reputation. Paul Ford had the same problem when he came down as fullback and took over from Peter Butler. He was a son of, and the crowd tend, unless things are very good, the slightest mistake, and you can get a problem. And Roy must have played 200 games, so he was no mug.
Was Digger still around at that time?
Yes. I mean, Digger actually was on selection until the first year. He was still on selection when his boy came, and then you began to have the insinuation that he was only getting in because his dad was on selection, which wasn't true. You know, so Digger withdrew in the end, I think, and he played in the 72 Cup Final, and he was an asset to the club. He was a lot. He was vastly underrated. Yeah.
I was reading recently in some minutes from an earlier era, but after Digger had stopped playing, that he came to the club and managed to persuade them to let him go on the West Country tour at the end of season, just because he enjoyed it so much.
Digger always went on the West Country tour.
Well, he still was in your days, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was still going on the tour when I was going. He went away with the boys, well, late into his 70s, Digger. Mm, he loved the away trips.
I understand he was quite an entertainer.
Oh, he would sing Susanna's a Funny Old Man and many different ditties, and he was a great entertainer, Digger, yeah. And as was Roy Folk and Jack.
All right.
You know, they could do the rugby songs, and not the lewd ones, the good ones. It was good entertainment and good learning. I mean, we got David Ainge, who went to Bristol.
Were you a singer, John?
I always maintain that I had my larynx, the bone around the larynx, fractured by Peter Robbins, the England captain at Molesley. He short armed me, and I was in hospital for Christmas, and I've always said that affected my singing voice. Whether that is true or not, I don't know, but I have been known with a lot of beer drunk to do the odd ditty or join in. David Ainge went to Bristol, talented fullback, very talented, just couldn't get in. I mean, in the Gloucester side, really, at 10 with Terry Hobson. Although Wilkinson's proved me wrong, sometimes left footed players are always kicking to the wrong touchline and under a bit of pressure because you're getting the ball coming in. But he played 100 games maybe down here, then went to Bristol and played 200 games, I would think, 150 there. Another talented local boy. There's a lot of local talent at this moment in Gloucester rugby. I know, well, we're seeing it coming through now, but I'm watching young players play now and in the County Cup finals, under 17s, under 18s, some tremendous talent out there. So I do hope the club here occasionally go out to these boys or get knowledge, because if they're taken in at 17 into this environment, which in many ways Hartbury is bringing on it, but there's a lot of players that they're missing. You know, they're not all being caught in, and they could go to waste, you know. What have we got here, Nick Foyes and Mike Nichols? It's a very, when you look at these teams, they were very, very solid for years, weren't they? Without many, John Groves came up from Pontypridd. John was a good little left winger with a good sidestep. Many people remember him, scored a fair few tries for the club, and a very nice guy as well. Don't see much of John now, which is a pity. Robin Cavanaugh, oh, gee whiz.
Say more.
Say no more. Just another line of, to me, great Gloucester props. You know, I mean, him in the front row with Burton, Mike Nichols, who for his size must have been the meanest. You know, goodness me, I mean, that was a front row, really. I mean, it was good with Jack, Roy Folk, and Mike Burton came along with Blakeway, because, I mean, I think probably Phil Blakeway was the strongest prop I'd ever seen. But he came in a long line of very good props. But you're talking, you know, little bits and pieces, and he could be better than him, or he could be better than him. But, you know, like I say, Roy Folk was just a tremendous footballer, where I would probably rate Roy a better footballer than Phil Blakeway. But Phil Blakeway could do things in the front row that I'd never seen done before. I mean, he used to amaze me, you know. And
well, I suspect he was fitter than anybody else, wasn't he?
Well, he was self-employed in his dad's business, which didn't seem to entail him, that I can remember, because I worked for his dad when I was 17. I can never remember, although he'd probably tell me he worked at Cheltenham, so he probably did work in the other business there, but he probably had a lot more time than I did to train. I mean, I used to start regularly at 7 in the morning and finish at 7 at night. And so then you'd come training and you'd probably had a couple of bananas and apple, and you were sort of playing rugby for Gloucester on, you know, and giving up your midweek, paying someone midweek to do your job whilst you went to Oxford or Pontypool. It was another world then. But we had John Watkins, I mean, which will be coming to, I haven't come across him yet. I mean, he said he wouldn't have played in this game because he was only this weight or that weight. But John got himself to that weight to get the fitness that he wanted. And because when John came down here, I think he was about 15 stone, came from the Gordon League. And somebody in their wisdom tried to turn him into a pro. But, yeah. He did. I think he did go in there once or twice, along with Alan Brin, who wasn't keen on that either.
Yes, he did. But he told us that he decided fairly quickly that he didn't want to play rugby looking back between his legs all the time.
He went. I think the first time that I can remember Alan going, we played at Neath, and we kicked off, and the ball hadn't gone 10 yards, and a guy called Brian McDougall ran into Brian Thomas before the game had started, really. And he got carried off on a stretcher. And that was his debut game, and I don't think he ever got another one. And so we played 14-minute Neath. And Mickey Booth tried to con the referee into letting our reserve come on because the game hadn't started. But the Welsh referee was not having any of that. So we played with 14 men there. And Brinny then had to go prop, because I think Brian McDougall, who was the second row, in again a wisdom, I picked him in tight end prop, and Alan went in there against Walter Williams, who was a bit of a psychopath along with, you know, he was, goodness me, and as you say, Brady spent most of the time with his head around his ankles, I think, but I don't think he fancied that job at all. No, Brady was a good rugby player, beautiful line out, short jumper. Probably one of the best scrummagers in the second row in England at the time. You know, tremendously great head up, straight back, and very, very good. But John Watkins, you can't say much more about him. I mean, he had the honours, he played for England, toured in the South African tour inside that. I was a little unlucky on that one. I was first reserve, and they took John Spence. He was semi-retired, and I don't think he played hardly a match on that tour. But luckily for me, nobody got injured, and I was praying that somebody got injured, but not too badly.
Well, that was the 72 tour, was it?
72, was it?
Of South Africa.
Yeah. And I was nominated as the next back full three-quarter replacement, but nobody got injured.